lot of these others, I don't understand them at all. And they keep adding to them. But I think you must admit with me that thanksgiving is something we really can understand. And why we give thanks. I was just wondering if perhaps we could sing a little chorus of thanksgiving. Let's sing it like a little prayer. Old Seth Sykes used to make it his kind of signature song when he was holding meetings. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. He wrote that little chorus. And he always opened his services by singing. Let's sing it together, like a little prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
That's something for which we can always give thanks. Now, one of our brethren there, while praying, was praying for the radio ministry. And I might say this, that we get letters periodically and phone calls from people who listen. Some of the letters very encouraging, others are strange letters. Takes me a long while to decipher some of them. Their English isn't too good, neither in the way they say it, nor the way they spell the word, but I could manage to make them out. But I had a very strange one last week. I judged that he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and listening to a program every week, he says, down in the island of Trinidad. But he wanted to know if I believed in the keeping of the law, especially the fourth commandment, you know, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, etc., etc. And on he went, see. And he always made his questions, double questions, do you believe this or that? See? I wrote him a kindly little letter back and told him that his questions were rather unintelligent, but I would do my best to help him. I wrote him a nice letter back, so I don't suppose I'll ever get any other word from him. But we had a phone call yesterday from a lady who lives in this area. We get these occasionally. I've had quite a number of people asking about the hymn. You know, that particular hymn that Alan Part sings, I Am Waiting for the Dawning. That seems to be a new hymn for a lot of people. They never seem to have heard it. They want to know where they can get the words, where they can get this tune. I can tell them where they get the words, but I can't tell them where to get the tune. I've tried search, but I'll need to wait till I get in touch with Alan and ask him which tune it is. Somehow I know the tune, but can't place it at the moment. It's the tune of another hymn, you see, and he adapts it for that hymn. But we had a lady yesterday phoning up. She'd like to get a copy of that hymn. And I get talking to her, and how did she get to know about the program, so on, etc., etc. She's a Methodist. It's a Methodist chapel, but we get the last one that wanted the words. She was a Free Will Baptist, and she wanted it. So you see, you're reaching all kinds and classes. We get Episcopalians and Presbyterians and Methodists and Free Will Baptists. And they're listening to the program each day. And those down at the radio station are very happy about a program going on because they get more comments and contacts through our program, they said, than any other of the religious programs that come on. So you can keep praying for it, that the people who are listening, that some of them will get saved. As a brother said in his prayer, and it's true, I know an awful lot of shut-ins, people that don't get out, who wait each day to listen to that program. So we appreciate your prayers for the help that we need to keep these programs going. We have decided, of course, to keep going on with the one down in the islands for another year. We toyed with the idea of stopping it, but we made our decision that we're going on, and so we're taking it in hand again for next year. Now I want you to take your Bibles tonight. I'm going to read one or two verses to you. The first verse you'll find in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now let me pass a remark about this before we go to the next scripture. I think most of you are aware that the prophecy of Isaiah has 66 chapters in it. Now, it's a strange thing. Others have pointed this out over and over again. It's not a new thought. You'll get it from many of the commentators. But that being so, when you come to the chapter 39, which would correspond with the last book in the Old Testament. See, there are 66 chapters in Isaiah, and they refer to it as a miniature Bible. So when you come to the end of chapter 39, that's corresponding with the end of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and it finishes with judgment. Now when you enter chapter 40, that would bring you over into the New Testament, coming into the Gospel according to Matthew, where the Lord appears. And so the word in chapter 40 is comfort. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Now it's perfectly true, as we'll see in a moment or two, when the Lord came, he came as a comforter. Because when we come to read in John 14, which I hope to do before we finish, you'll see how he refers to another comforter. And if the Holy Spirit is another comforter, then the Lord Jesus was a comforter. Now what God is saying to us here in chapter 40 is, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Then he says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Now what does that mean, speak ye comfortably? If you do a little research on that, you'll discover it's a very piercing thought. It really means speak to the heart. Now it's possible to speak to a person's mind. The school teacher does that. You know, when you were at school, you went there, you had to learn the lessons. But you didn't learn lessons at school by experience, you learned them by listening to the teacher. And sometimes it was very difficult, so some teachers could teach you better than others. I'll never forget the first geometry teacher I had at school. Still got him in my mind. I can think of him when he taught us some of those axioms in connection with the geography. I can see him sit there on that little table, up in front seat, to his feet up, with three little pieces of chalk in his hand, and he was throwing them up and catching them as if he was juggling with three balls. And he would say, if A equals B and B equals C, he's throwing up the chalk. If A equals B and B equals C, then the result is that C is equal to A. Well, that seems sensible to me. I got it right away. Never forgot it. But you see, he had the ability to put it over. But I can think of the teacher who tried to learn us how to speak French. He thought to speak French, you have to speak through your nose. And we just made a fool of her, I'm being honest with you. I don't think any of us learned much French. But you see, she hadn't the ability. So she was taken away from that class, and the one that came the next year was, you had to listen to her. See? But now, when these teachers speak to you, they're putting something over to get into your mind. To your mind. Something you've got to come to grips with. But what the Lord is saying to us here is, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably. That is, speak to the heart. And if it's to be a word of comfort, it's got to come from the heart to the heart. You see, something that comes from the mind may reach the mind. An intellectual man may make certain intellectual statements. and they may be understood by men of a similar intellect. For instance, now, I could listen to men talk about certain things and I wouldn't know what they were talking. I may know the language they're using, but I wouldn't understand what they're saying. Because if I hadn't been trained in the basics of that particular science, how would I understand it? Yet what they're saying may be perfectly correct, it may be intelligent enough, but if I'm not versed up in that particular science, then I wouldn't be able to take it in. But when they speak to the heart, and from the heart, that's comfort. Now, I want you to turn over to chapter 66 of this book, the final chapter of Isaiah. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 of Isaiah 66. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Now notice these words again. Now this is God who's speaking through the prophet. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Now think of that for a moment or two. When you and I think of God, we think of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Now we have no difficulty whatever in coming to an agreement on the fact that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Now to prove that, just keep your finger in Isaiah 66 for a moment. Let us go over to John 14. The Gospel according to John and chapter 14. Now look at verse 16. 14 verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you like orphans. I will come to you. Now stop there a moment. The Lord is preparing here to go away. This is the final night with his disciples. This is, I'm going away. Well, who can they come to now with their troubles? Who can they tell their difficulties to? On whom can they roll all their burdens? He's going away to leave them. But he said, if I go away, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. When I get up there, I'm going to pray the Father, I'll intercede with the Father, and he will send you another Comforter. And he tells us who the Comforter is, the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, which proves to us we have a Comforter. Not only is he with us, but he's in us. A permanent companion, a Comforter. But when he says, I will send you another Comforter, it impresses on us the fact that he himself was a Comforter. He was a Comforter, God the Son. God the Spirit is a Comforter. Now go back with these thoughts to what I read to you from Isaiah 66, and here what we have here is, it says, he will comfort us as a mother. As a mother comforteth her son. Now, you never thought of God the Father comforting in the way that a mother comforts. You see, we have a combination of comfort here. Now, an orphan could be one that has lost a parent. An orphan may have lost a father, left fatherless. He may have lost his mother, he's motherless. And some orphans have lost both father and mother. And to be left as orphans, who's going to comfort them? Now we have God the Father saying, now I will comfort you like a mother comforted son. Now I've never been able to come to grips with what it must be like for a child to be without parents, because I've never passed that way. I was 20 years of age when I lost my father. I wasn't a child then. I was able to get my feet down and stand for myself. But I still had my mother for a little while. But even to lose one of your parents brings a lot of grief. To whom can you roll your burden on? I've never been able to come to grips with what it means for those children. But let me say this. When I come to the Word of God and I think of Him saying, I'll comfort you as a mother. As a mother comforted her son. I'll ask you this. How does a mother comfort a child? Perhaps you're not able to put it into words, but you've got the thought in your mind, haven't you? How does a mother comfort a child? May I suggest to you the first method a mother uses to comfort a child is a silent method. You say, what? Yeah, silent method. Here's a little one who has been out playing. And all of a sudden something happens. The little one falls, trips, or hurts itself. Whether the hurt is real or imaginary, little one gets a fright somewhere or another, the first thing that little one does is run to the mother. And when the mother sees the little one coming, she picks up that child, that's a little boy, a little girl. She just picks them up and hugs them. And the child is comforted by the very presence of the mother. I will comfort you, he said, as a mother comforted her son. And as a mother can comfort a child even with her presence, I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that in the time of trouble we can turn to God as a child would turn to a mother, knowing that He has the heart that feels for us. He can take us, as it were, and quieten us down in His very presence. He is the child. The moment the mother's arms come around that child, it quietens down. The tears are dried up. The child is quietened and comforted. I think I used this illustration on one occasion here, but I'll use it again in case some forgot it. A missionary was translating the scriptures into the native language, but he couldn't find a word for comfort. They didn't have a word for comfort. And he didn't know what to do. Well, if he didn't find a word, he had just to wait and try to find out. And one day, one of the boys that worked around at the mission station said to the missionary, I'm going away for a few days. He says, where are you going? He says, I'm going over to see my aunt. She lives over the other side, round the other side of the mountain. And it'll take me a little while to climb over and get round about the mountain and visit my aunt. He says, you see, my uncle has died. And I'm going over to visit my aunt. The missionary thought, now I'll get my word. He said, let me ask you this. When you get over to visit your aunt, what do you expect to do for her? What are you going to do for your aunt? He looked at the missionary. He said, well, I'm just going to stay for a couple of days just to help her heart around the corner. That's all. Help her heart around the corner. You see, the missionary said, that's it. He couldn't get a word for comfort, but he got the idea. To help one's heart around the corner. No, you come to a corner, you don't know what's round there. Oh, there's going to be problems, perhaps. You don't know what's round the corner. It's a difficulty. But if you have somebody to take you and say, now I'll go round with you, I'll help you round. That's one alongside. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit is here? One to go alongside, to comfort, to strengthen, to uphold. I will send you another comforter. God says, I'll comfort you as a mother comforts her child by the presence. But there's another way in which a mother can comfort a child. Here's one that comes into the mother's presence, and the mother just needs to look. She says, what's your trouble? Did your mother ever say that to you? See, my mother seemed to be able to read our faces when we... What's your trouble? Why are you in just now? What is it? She seemed to know there was something out of order, there was something wrong. Well now, after a mother has got that one quietened down, she can sit down now and she can talk. The speaking method. Tell me your trouble. What is it that's worrying you? And the child, whether it's a boy or a girl, can unburden their heart to the mother, tell them what their problem is. You know, little ones think they have a lot of problems. As I say, they fall, they hurt their fingers, they hurt their knees, they hurt them, their brows. And it takes a little while for the mother to quieten them down. But then, when we get older, and you have the teenagers, they have their troubles too, you know, and sometimes they hold them to themselves, and it's difficult to get them to unburden themselves, but the mother says, now tell me, what is your trouble? Tell me what it is and I might be able to help you. And so they unburden themselves, and the mother is able to speak to them, give them counsel. How does God do that? How do you unburden yourself to the Lord? After you've quietened yourself down in His presence and you're conscious of the presence of God, you can cast all your care upon Him. For He has made you His personal concern. Just as that young person would speak to the mother and unburden themselves and tell all the troubles to the mother, you and I can go down in bended knee in the quietness of the room, and we can speak to the Lord. He'll listen, unburden ourselves and tell all our troubles to the Lord. He understands. But then, if He's to speak to us, then we come to the Word. And what He tells us in the Word will bring comfort to us. See, He is one whom His mother comforteth. We can come to the God of all mercies, the God of all comfort, and He will comfort us. You see, the trouble with us is we sing it, but we don't often practice it. We sing about prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs to bear. We sing about it. But sometimes we carry those burdens ourselves. Oh, we're like Jacob, we go down in bended knee, we tell the Lord all about our problems, and then when we get up, we try to solve them ourselves. Instead of leaving them with the Lord. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. But having carried them to God in prayer, then we turn to His Word. And here in the Word, He tells us that He will comfort us. Fear not. I am with thee. I will uphold thee. I will strengthen thee. I will comfort thee. You see, as a mother comforteth her children. Now let us look at a little verse. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Look at that before we close. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation or in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, those that are in any affliction. How can you do it? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now let me ask you, has there ever been a time when you've been faced with problems and you needed comfort? By some means, some method, God comforted you. You were comforted in your affliction. You knew you were. All right. Have you been able to pass on that same comfort to others? Others who were passing through a like affliction that you had already passed through. I have been reminded of people who have been bereaved. That's always a sad time. People need comfort. Some folks send them cards of comfort. Some folks can speak words of comfort. And other folks who think they're speaking words of comfort would be far better to keep their mouth shut. It's no comfort to anybody who has been bereaved for you to go and slap them on the back and say, never mind, cheer up, time's a great healer, you know. That's no comfort. That makes things worse. But if someone comes along whom you know has passed through the same experience, and you know it, all they need to do is take your hand in their hand and look you straight in the eye and say, I understand. That reaches the heart because it comes from the heart. You know they understand because they've passed through a similar experience. And because they've passed through a similar experience and they've been comforted of God, they can come and that comfort seems to find an echo with you. You comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The Apostle Paul had spent some time in the city of Thessalonica. He had to leave that city because of persecution. And the Christians he left behind him, young Christians, that is, they weren't long saved, were being persecuted. He sent Timothy back to them with this exhortation, Timothy, I want you to go back. I want you to strengthen them and comfort them concerning their faith. And Timothy went back to see them, and then he came back and gave his report to Paul, and Paul sent them a letter. And in that letter he mentions the comfort again, and when you come right on to chapter 4, you know the scripture, you know it well, where he outlines the great truth of the hope of the Christian concerning the return of the Lord. And you remember how he concludes that passage? Now today at a funeral, a man read that and left out the last verse. I was disappointed. Left out the last verse, which to me is the crowning part of it all. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You see, the truth concerning the coming of the Lord is a comfort at any time. He said, ought to be if we've got the right grasp of it. Some folk have used that great truth to confuse God's people, but it's there to comfort us. Comfort us. And especially is it a comfort at a time of bereavement. When you've seen someone that's been sick, and then they've been taken from you and you've buried them. Oh, what a comfort to know that when the Lord comes, those that are dead in Christ shall be raised. We who are alive and remain changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. He says, wherefore, because of that, comfort one another with these words. You see, brethren and sisters, how necessary it is for God's people to comfort one another, to comfort them, to strengthen them, to speak from the heart to the heart, to give the word of encouragement, because it may be that if you do that, you'll help their heart right round the corner. You'll help them in the time of need. Time's gone. Perhaps our brother Lacey will dismiss us with a word of prayer.